Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. What a show we have for you this evening. I've been looking forward to this one all week because we had some exciting news to confirm. And that's exactly what we've done. We confirmed it. On tonight's show, we will be talking to Charlton star Macaulay Bond. We cannot wait for that one. We want this section to almost go very quickly. And it can go quickly when we talk about the Swansea game. We don't even really need to cover it. We'll cover that Leeds victory because, Macaulay himself getting the goal there. This will be a great show tonight, so stay around for that. We're going to be reviewing the two games since we last spoke. The brilliant victory against Leeds. We wanted 9 points from those three games, but we'll take three beating Leeds, who are going to be right up there at the end of the season. Another team who is right up there, it's Swansea, and Charlton nearly got the better of them as well. Talking about both games and then looking at the massive game on the weekend, the London clash against Fulham, the early kickoff. We'll be reviewing all of that game, and our very own Dom Betts will be joining us on the phone to tell us how he feels it's going to go from a Fulham perspective. And as always, you can get involved in the show tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558 and get your questions in for Macaulay or the SE7 team. We have to start. Let's start with the positive, the Leeds game, the brilliant 1-0 win. Mark, very good one this. Yeah, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, loved it. It was great. You know, the Leeds fans on the train going to the ground were very, very cocky, very cocksure. You know, I just sat there
not
quietly.
Leeds, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. They're giving it all the big in. How many goals they were going to beat us by. Mm. You know, and we went out there. You know, we rode our luck. You know, first 20 minutes was a little bit iffy. And then we got back into the game. Slowly put our game onto them and then, you know, defending like warriors again. Fantastic.
Yeah, Martin was sending messages on our WhatsApp in the morning, and he was trying to implore us to put a little cheeky bet on, because the bookies had us at 5-1. And I must admit, I said, I can't see it, I'm afraid. Those were my very words. But I just love being proved wrong, because we showed that despite all Leeds possession, and the way they just controlled the game, we only needed one corner, one goal.
That's it.
And there you go. And they had all the corners previous to that and didn't do anything with it.
Well, maybe it's a small omen, because apparently Charlton is 7-1 to beat Fulham on the weekend. Stupidly, people writing off Charlton for a team that are getting the results in and up there. I don't know if they're a 7-1 outsider, especially in the two-horse race. Let's look at the game with Leeds then, Ollie. I want to get your thoughts. Just before that, Bielsa, the Leeds manager after, said, we had the chances, we had the possession, we were the much superior team. And, you know, we can all be modest and say, yeah, maybe Leeds were the better team. They did have the possession. They did have the chances. One thing that we only really care about, and I'm not saying this because we're talking from the Charlton perspective, is the points and who gets the W in the column. And unfortunately, yeah, Leeds may have been better, but it was Charlton who got the win.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, there's only one stat that really matters. It's the number of goals you get. And that's what we won on. Like, they had a lot more shots than us. They had a lot more possession. They were a very strong team. Like, I mean, let's be fair, Leeds were brilliant. They're a really, really good team. Yeah. They're going to do really well this season. We I guess outthought them. They could have loads of shots from outside the box, have a lot of efforts, but it's going to look good on stats. But really, they didn't trouble us too many times. There were a few times where they did, and Dylan Phillips did really well, so Lockyer as well had a really strong game. But at the end of the day, all we need to do is beat him at one corner, and we did. And then we did it felt very much like the Alan Kirbishley days of defending a one goal lead. Yeah. Back to the wall for most of the game. But it worked, and I came out, I was buzzing with that victory, absolutely buzzing.
I bet you was, and buzzing you should be. Was this the game where it was really the measuring stick for you? Because you have got the results, you know, but Leeds are up there. They're a team that, you know, it's all or nothing for them. They want to get back to the Premier League. Everyone says, pundits on paper, they're the strongest team in the Premier League. Has this shown you, obviously we know you're promoted this year, but has this shown you how far Charlton have come and are going, Paul?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Lee Bowie has always said, you know, we will surprise teams this season. It doesn't matter who we're playing, you know, the top team like Leeds come down to the Valley, and yes, certainly we can marvel at their panache, their fantastic possession. I was watching them very closely, and the ease on the ball is marvellous to watch.
Yeah.
But the trouble is, we did what the likes of Swansea, Derby and Nottingham Forest did to Leeds. They do it for so long, they didn't have that sort of finishing product at the end of it. And I felt by about the hour mark, they'd lost their potency. And then by the three-quarter mark, I felt that at that point, we've got this in the bag. We actually got their game summed up. And
they were getting desperate by that time,
yeah,
weren't they?
And we really sorted them out by that point.
Yeah, definitely sorted them out. I think last week, if I recall, we had Mickey Kerr on the show, Leeds fan, and he politely said, "I'll give Charlton a goal." Well, the goal was all we needed, wasn't it, Mark?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as I said, the first 10-15 minutes, we did look a little bit iffy at the back, you know. And I wasn't very complimentary of Naby Sarr last week after the Wigan game. But, I've got to eat my words and say, first 10 minutes, he did look a bit ropey. Yeah. But then he grew into the game, and then we saw the Naby Sarr last season back again. And he was fantastic, you know. And he played well again last night as well, didn't he? But then, you know, he didn't play last night, did he?
He kept the bench warm last night.
Yeah, no, Saturday he played really well, and Bowyer was just very clever with the way he went in. He said after 20 minutes or so, I was always going to go to a back three, knowing that, you know, they would push on to us, and then he was hoping to get an earlier goal than that, but, you know, we got one a bit later in the half, and they held on to it.
Well, let's talk about the goal scorer, because we do have him on the show. Indeed. It's quite unique that when it is a 1-0 scoreline and the goal scorer that got the 3 points is coming on the very same week. We're very excited to talk to Macaulay Bon. But who cares if it won't, you know, it was a scrappy goal. They all can. How nice was it to see that one and take that 1-0 lead in that game, Paul?
Well, I think what hasn't been mentioned is that previous to the corner that we got there, he played a part in getting that corner, because I think it was a bit of a move between Cullen and Bon. And I remember sort of writing my notes, and I was saying, right, let's exploit this situation, because up to then we haven't really done anything. It was backs to the wall. And I thought, just we've got this one set piece, let's do it. And thankfully we did. And there he was. I thought Lockyer had scored, but then obviously it transpired that it was our friend Macaulay.
Yeah. Well, Macaulay played really well on Saturday, I thought. His work rate was phenomenal. And then it showed at the end he pulled up with a cramp. You know, I was laughing then, because there was a guy stood next to me. He'd had a fiver on Tom Lockyer to score the first goal, so he's going mad. And then I'm like going, "Oh, it's just come up, Macaulay Bond scored." He's going, "I don't believe it."
I'm really pleased for him, because obviously it's his first start. He's clearly, a bit of a work in progress. You know, he's here to develop, he's here to grow as a player. And in your first start, get a goal. Yeah, you might not have known too much about it, but I'm really pleased for him to get off the mark so early on in his career.
Like you said, it's very early at Cholton. He did get his first goal. And I'm not just saying it because we have him on the show, but obviously we do the Leyton Orient fan show every week, and they're absolutely gutted that he's not there anymore. Mm. So I know of him just even through Leyton Orient. I'm excited to see that continue with Cholton. Let's turn our attentions to last night, because I was here. I was keeping my eye on it. I might have got a little bit excited when Lecco scored after 60 seconds. Always great when you go 1-0 up a game, especially at home. Without wanting to throw to the cliche, sometimes it can be a bad thing to go up too early, and maybe this was the case, wasn't it, Ollie?
Yeah, maybe. I think maybe the mindset of Leeds, we go one up, we can defend it, came a little bit, because we really invited pressure after that for a bit. But I'm a little bit disappointed by the result, obviously. I'm always disappointed when Charlton lose. I went with two friends who had not seen Charlton before. One's a Man United fan, one of them's a Liverpool fan. They're both from London. And they were saying, like, that's not the result you wanted. I'm like, yeah, I am disappointed, but it's a good thing I'm disappointed, because at the beginning of the season, we never thought we'd be here. Swansea are top of the table. They're a really strong side. They've got Premier League players in the squad. And the fact that we didn't get battered by them, we lost, obviously upsetting, but we're upset by that. I didn't expect it. It says a lot about where we are right now. So I'm actually come away with a bit of perspective, saying that I'm quite happy with it.
No, it's a good way of looking at it, Mark.
If you look, Swansea's forward line of IU and that Baston cost nearly 35 million quid, I think. You know what I mean? We did all right last night. I wasn't despondent when I walked out. And you could tell by the reaction in the crowd at the end of the game, there was none of that grumbling, moaning, "Oh, God, we've lost again." You know what I mean? It was positive in the crowd, I thought, because we did play well.
It's so true, and I've been keeping an eye on you all through the SE7 podcast Twitter, you know, keeping my eye on it, very close eye. And you mentioned it there, didn't you? $35 million for that Swansea up front, and you said the chairman, the owner, wants $30 million for Charlton itself. It's crazy when you do contrast and compare it like that, Paul.
Yeah, and one of those guys, AU, I think he's got 84 caps for Ghana. Baston, I mean, he's a top player. I was very impressed with the guy on the left flank, Selina, who plays for Kosovo.
Yeah, he played well, yeah.
Very good player. But yeah, last night, it just shows you what football does to you. I was absolutely gutted last night losing that game. Really upset. But obviously, 24 hours on, I've got more perspective on the game now. And I'm looking at the first 10 games. We're 8 from top. We've accrued 17 points. And let's face it, guys, we would have taken that all day long.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was disappointing. I think, going back to your point, Charlie, scoring the first goal.
And what a goal it was. That was an absolute clinical finish from Echo, weren't it?
And let's give praise to our new debutant, Matthews. He put a lovely assist in, nice low ball into Lecco. I think it took a slight deflection, but nevertheless, it was a great goal. And 15, 20 minutes after that, I think Charlton carried on the ascendancy. But again, like Leeds, Swansea know how to look after that ball. Lovely give and goes, lots of little triangles. And that's the thing I'm jealous of, that I would like to look to attain as the season goes on. Some of these top championship sides, they know how to look after that ball. And this is the difference of the real echelons in the championship with maybe sort of the Birminghams, the Wiggans, the Millwalls, and perhaps ourselves maybe.
Well, it's a good point, and I want to ask you, Mark, because I know it's no consolation. Like you said, you always want to win, Ollie. Yeah. You always want the 3 points. But I've been speaking and doing the fan shows sometimes on the championship fan show, and I've got to be honest, all I hear is Leeds, Swansea. And, you know, Charlton have beat Leeds and run Swansea very close, and it could have been different. And that's why I say it is sort of the yardage stick where Charlton, I feel like, should be measured on. I know we wanted more. We wanted those 9 points. But can you take that away from it, Mark?
We've got to take positives from the last two games without that. You're right, because obviously we beat Leeds. And, you know, Swansea was a tough game and they're a good team. You know, and we ran them close. We should have had a penalty.
The
one on the
Niki.
That should have been a pen, without a doubt. That gets given, we score that. It could be a different game. We could be talking about another win today.
Well, we've given you the fans' perspective of the games, but what better than to speak to someone who not only played in the game on Saturday, but scored the winner also. We'll be talking to Macaulay Bond. You will not want to miss it.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Martin Atkins, Ollie Cook and Paul Sullivan. And I can tell you the excitement is building in the studio because we are about to speak to Macaulay Bond, who scored that winner on the weekend. I couldn't even get out my words there, Mark. I'm that excited. It's been building up. It was almost like a big reveal. We was waiting to cross that line, wasn't we? We was waiting to confirm him. And we knew we could get him on the show, and we have got him on the show. And it was almost written, I don't want to say like in the stars or fairy tale, but for Macaulay to get the winner against Leeds and then come on this week, we couldn't have timed it better ourselves. Well, he has joined us now, and we're absolutely delighted. It's a real pleasure to have him on the show. Macaulay, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time this evening. It's a real pleasure to have you. Macaulay, where better than to start on the weekend beating Leeds, 3 points, a clean sheet, and you to get the winner, your first goal for Charlton? You couldn't write it better, could you?
No, I couldn't. From where I've come from the last two seasons, playing non-league football, to go and playing and scoring the winner against a team as big as Leeds, I couldn't dream of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and Macaulay, sorry, just leading on from that, I mean, you mentioned where you come from. I mean, how hard is it have you found the transition from the conference to the championship? And this question is asked by Liam-TSFC off Twitter.
Well, I was not going to lie to you. I was struggling for the first 2 weeks, just getting into the fitness levels, and still the way the tempo has increased massively for me, but I think over the past few weeks and a few months go by, as I'm getting more involved, finding my feet, I'm getting really comfortable, and I don't feel as out of places anymore. And I feel like the more and more I keep cracking on and training hard, I'm going to slowly be more adjusting to the tempo and hopefully get up to speed to the championship, which I know I'm not just yet. I'm playing the minute, but I still know I've got a long way to be off to be an established Championship footballer.
All right, well, Macaulay, from our point of view, we think you've been doing very well in the last two games you've played, especially. We've got another question from Samuel Day off Twitter, who asked, are you looking forward to playing Millwall in the South London Derby this year? What are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I am, to be fair. I look forward to any game coming, but Millwall seems to be a special one for the Charlton fans, so yeah, I'm actually especially looking forward to that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to put any pressure on you at all, but looking at what Jamie Vardy's done in his career, coming from like non-league like yourself up into the like Premier League, does that give you a bit of confidence or give you something to look, you know, to aspire to in when you come to Charlton?
Oh, of course it does. Like, see that, like I said, the players like the Vardy, the Charlie Austins, the Mikel Antonios have all come through the non-league setup. It gives players like me, who have been in the non-league at a young age, a massive boost, knowing that it is possible to get to the top flight. If it takes me years and years, even if I don't get there, I'm in the Championship. That's more than I could have ever asked of. So I'm happy to be where I am.
Macaulay, we're absolutely delighted to have you on tonight on the Love Sport radio station. The questions have been absolutely flooding in, and you still have got a chance. Call 0208 7020 558. Macaulay, I wanted to ask, obviously, you play as a striker. We know strikers feed off goals. It does wonders for their confidence. You've got your first against Leeds United. It can't get much better than that. Now you can get maybe a run in the team. How much has this done for your confidence, and you feel like you can get a run in the side?
Yeah, massively. Like, when I first joined Charlton, I never expected to go straight into the side. I knew I was a long way off it, a lot of hard work to do. But I said to get my first goal against Leeds, what better place to start it? My goal scorer and hopefully run I can go on for the season than against Leeds. And it just gives me the extra 10-15% that I've probably needed over the last few weeks to kind of push on and do better for myself.
Yeah, and just going back to the summer, Macaulay, I mean, when you joined Charlton, there must have been a little bit of a bittersweet moment for you there following the tragic passing away of Justin Edinburgh, who you obviously worked under last season. That must have been a tough period for you.
Yeah, it was. Like, the man was a legend, and for what he'd done for me for the last two seasons, I couldn't thank him enough. And leaving that club, yeah, it was hard. I know he'd have wanted me to push on and get to the top. He gave me the fighting spirit to fall in love with the game again.
Brilliant.
And I can't appreciate him for what he's done for me over these last two seasons anymore. So it's just the fact that, yeah, it was hard, but it's another step in my career that I had to take. I knew he'd be happy for me, so.
Indeed.
And also, Macaulay, looking back to the summer, we've had Steve Gunn on the show a couple of times, and he's told us a bit about his process, bringing players into the club. When did you first hear that Charlton were interested, scouting you, having a look? And, you know, how was the process for you going into signing for the Championship side?
Well, it was just before I kind of went on holiday. I knew Charlton were fairly interested, and more happened when I was on holiday. I was getting texts from the agent saying, yeah, this bit of that. But it kind of happened really quick. And I remember watching him in the playoff final. And I felt I was rooting for him. And when they scored that late last minute winner, I celebrated just as much as anyone else in Wembley did.
Macaulay, obviously, Ollie just mentioned that Charlton were in from you very early on. But how much did Lee Bowyer play a part in that? We know he's a brilliant manager. He's doing a wonderful job this year. How much did that play a part? And what is he like to work under as a manager? And what's he like on the training pitch?
It's massive. Like, he's a big player in his day. I watched him play at Ipswich Town when I was a kid. And so, like, now to be managed under a player like him, and it's something like players like me, when you watch these players on Match of the Day when you're younger, you know, I'm now working under him. So it's exciting, and he encourages me. He gets involved in training, and I think that's a massive factor. It gives you a bit of a boost, and when a manager's involved, you want to do a bit extra or just work a little extra bit harder to try and be the one that's be noticed. So yeah, he's been massive for me.
We've had another couple of questions in for you, Macaulay. Not many people probably know you're international for Zimbabwe, but we had a question from Harry Bunce and Melvin. When are you coming back to play for the Zimbabwe Warriors, they want to know?
As soon as possible, she said. My passport is still in the process of being sorted. But, anytime soon, whenever it's done, I'm ready to go play for them again. It's another good thing for my career, being an international.
Excellent stuff, Macaulay. You mentioned that you're obviously obviously going through this learning curve at the moment, adapting to life in the Championship. I mean, what is it like to be out there, to be jostled by these very expensive top-class Championship defenders? And how does that compare to what you're up against in the National League last season? Just give us a little insight into that.
The Championship defenders are very clever. Like, they can kind of get a read in the game. They're smarter. But I think last season it helped me grow up and become a more physical player, where I was getting, I was having a tear up against two centre halves for 90 minutes.
just simply
wanted to beat me up all game.
Now we're getting into it, Macaulay. Macaulay, I just wanted to ask, obviously I know you said the first few weeks you said it was a learning curve for you and this has done wonders for your confidence, but was there any personal goals you set for the year once you joined Cholton, you know, maybe appearances, goals, and what are the team expectations this year and what can they realistically achieve?
Well, for me personally, it was just to get into the team or make any, even if I finish the season on a handful of appearances, it's a step in the right direction for me, considering I come from non-league, now playing in the Championship. Any appearance for me is a bonus. I'm happy with that. But yeah. I think team-wise, what you've seen with the start we've had, there's no reason why we can't continue it for the rest of the season. And like I said, you can only imagine where we can go.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously, you've been looking to get in the team, which at the moment you're doing. And obviously, looking back at the weekend, you managed to get a goal. Well, looking back on the replay, obviously, I don't know how much of it you knew about. But just talk us through that a little bit. You know, when the ball went to the back of the net and we all went crazy. What was it like to score your first goal at the Valley?
Like I said, not much I know about it. But I just felt a little knock on my back and I see the ball roll in. I remember volleyed it quite hard and I thought, the ball ain't going to go in that after that. And I remember looking up while we were celebrating and watching the highlight on the board and I seeing it looked like it hit me in the back and got in. I thought, that's my goal. And the next thing the referee is like, you've been awarded the goal. I was like, got it.
What a way to celebrate your first goal. You didn't even know about it.
I know, but they're the best ones. I'll never forget it.
So how upset was Tom Lockyer?
He wasn't. If I can keep him coming, he's happy.
Yeah, good. Now, obviously, Lyle Taylor is ever so popular at the club, and obviously you're getting there fast as well. But what has the likes of Lyle Taylor been saying to you sort of recently and over the course of the season?
He's always encouraging players like me who come up to work hard, even in training. Like he's one to help. Even as little things like watching him take penalties, the walk he does, I try it and I can't crack it.
Would you ever do that?
I couldn't. I don't think I could. I stick to my penny. I run up to it as fast as I can and hit it as hard as I can.
Superb. Yeah.
But he's different and it's nice to play with a player like him.
It certainly is. We've been lucky enough to speak to him before. He's a great person to have on the show, like yourself, Macaulay. Let's turn our attentions to the weekend because Cholton do play Fulham. It is a massive clash. Fulham, we obviously know them coming down from the Premier League. They'll fancy their chances. They're on a good run. But as are Cholton, what are the thoughts going into this one, Macaulay?
No fear. Yeah, they're a big club, but you can't look at the size of the club, the budget they've got. You end up overthinking. I think it's just all about 11 men versus 11 men on the foot pitch. And then you fight to win the game. That's the way we look at it. Just go in and play with no fear.
And just coming towards the end, Macaulay. I mean, overall in your football career and life, obviously you had experience at Colchester as well. I mean, where have you taken your inspiration from?
I wouldn't. I don't really have an answer for that. I think I've just been self-belief and I just wanted to better myself, like dropping out of the Football League to the conference to try and rebuild my career and get my confidence back. I think it was the best decision for me. It's obviously taken me in the right direction because where I am today.
Yeah.
Well, McCauley, you did get that first goal, hopefully, and I know for sure it'll be the first of many. It was brilliant to talk to you tonight. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time because we know you're very busy. But hopefully in the coming weeks or the coming months, you'll come on the show and join us again. Or even if you've got time, we'd love to have you in the studio. Ooh, in person. Yes. McCauley, honestly, wishing you the best of the luck for McCauley. The rest of the season. Cheers McCauley.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant to speak to McCauley Bond there. I mean, the man got the goal, beat Leeds, 3 points. He didn't even know about it. I enjoyed that very much. Really good to speak to him. Next, we're going to be continuing our review of those games and we're going to be looking at that game with Fulham on the weekend.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Cheltenham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook. We were just also joined by McCauley Bond, and what a pleasure it was to be joined by him and have a little chat about the season and also get an insider track. I tried to talk about Lee Bowyer, what it was like on the training pitch, what are their thoughts going into the game, but it was great to talk to him, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it was. Very good. You know, we've worked hard over the last week to get him on, so we was really, really happy. Happy with that. He's a good talker. Gave us some good answers there. Good questions from the listeners as well.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, from his perspective, what a great week he's had to kick off a full debut against the likes of Leeds, and then 3-4 days later playing Swansea. I mean, it's magnificent, and where he's come from. I mean, he must be buzzing big time.
Absolutely buzzing.
It's incredible.
There was a few things that I took away from it, but one of the things, you know, and you love to see it and you want to hear it, especially in the younger players, the first thing he said, I said, you know, Fulham on the weekend, massive London clash, what are your thoughts going into it? No fear. And that's exactly what you really went to.
Yeah.
And it probably is, you know, his attitude, his mentality. But you've got to believe there's a little bit of Lee Bowyer in that as well, isn't there, Mark?
Well, not only that. I mean, he's got Mr. Lyle Taylor, who's probably a very good mentor in the changing room for him. I mean, as we had Lyle on last season, and he said he came in at the club, he grabbed hold of Carlin Grant, and he said, we've got to score the goals this season to get us up. We're going to do this. And I said to him, well, what's your targets? I'm not telling you. He said, that's between me and Carlin. But, you know, Lyle's a leader in the dressing room. That's for a fact. So he's going to, that's going to rub off on McCauley without a doubt.
Well, hopefully, no better player to learn on. But he said he won't be learning his penalty routine.
No,
for sure.
Yeah.
I always get scared every time Lyle takes a penalty. It's the slowest walk. I do worry, but he's scoring. So
it's a brilliant penalty until he misses one.
It's so painful every time. So I'm glad we've not got two people doing it. An absolute nightmare.
Absolutely. Well, it is a big clash. Let's talk a little bit about that. But before we do, you know, we talked about the odds at the start of the show, and I want to know what you think about these odds that Cheltenham are getting in a minute. Are they being a lack of respect? Are they being underrated at all? Call us or tweet us. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. But on the weekend, Cheltenham are 7-1 to beat Fulham. And not only that, they're only 7-1 to get promotion. How do you feel about that? Or we're not even concentrating on that stat at all?
No, let's not talk about the promotion. 7-1 at the weekend, that's got to be a G up for the players, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a little wager on that, without a doubt. I've already won me money on Saturday for the Leeds game. I had a 10 on that at 5-1, so we'll see how it goes.
Happy days.
Yeah, I think, personally, it's justified, because you've got to admit, Fulham are a class act in this championship. They had a great win on Tuesday night, which I'm sure Dom, when he comes on, will refer to. They got some fantastic players.
Yeah.
And if you allow yourself, you can be a little bit scared. But the thing is, with Lee Bowyer, he doesn't care who's on that football pitch. And this is what gives us a chance, even though we're playing against a class act on Saturday.
Well, it's not just Lee Bowyer, Paul. We just heard it from McCauley. There's no fear. There's no fear in all of them, not just Lee Bowyer. Well, I can give you the inside scoop on the Fulham show, because that is every Wednesday, 9 to 10 on Love Sport Radio.
Obviously,
yeah, nice plug, of course. Thank you, Ollie. But they were obviously looking towards the game on the weekend. And I said, you know, obviously I feel like I can talk about Cheltenham a little bit. And Dom said, I'm not sure about where Cheltenham's creativity comes from. And I said, I disagree with you there, Dom. You've not clearly been watching Cheltenham this year. Mm. They've got a real, you know, Gallagher, Williams, you know, there's many players we can mention that are chipping in. I don't know if he mentions it tonight, or you can pull him up on that, how you feel about it. But he was very confident that he didn't fear Cheltenham. He gives them respect, but they was confident of a home win. You don't feel like that at all, do you, Ollie?
No, I don't. like as you say, you know, they've got good players. They spent a lot of money last year. Well, it's over 100 million.
Ridiculous.
And they went down. It's like the most unforgivable relegation I've ever heard of. But they still got a lot of them players. They've got still got Mitrovic up top as well. Some really strong players in that squad. So, you know, there is an easy temptation to say, oh, that means they're going to win. But just spending money and having big names doesn't win you games. They showed that last year. Aston Villa showing it this year. If you spend a lot of money, doesn't mean you're going to be you know, a better team. And Charlton spent next to naught this year and we're winning games. So you can't go into it just basing on, oh, they've spent this much and we've spent this much. You know, we can go into any game and get a result.
Well, he was worried. I said, well, what area concerns you about Charlton? Where do you have that fear? Where can they hurt Fulham? He said, you know, they're very good in the box, their aerial game. I said, I'm not sure even Charlton play like that. They do play on the deck as well, but can you hurt Fulham with your set pieces, Paul?
Yeah, definitely. I'd just like to point out, I listened to this Fulham fan show.
Oh, so you did hear it?
Yeah, I used my time effectively this morning
while
I was having a bath.
Okay. And, let's skate over that.
Too much
lucky
information.
Lucky it's 9:37.
Yes, indeed. And there I was listening to Dom and his colleague. And they were making some interesting points that... The thing that was resonant with me was the fact that if Fulham can get an early goal, they feel then they can just sort of pretty much take the game to Charlton. But they were scared if it gets to 0-0 at half time, because this is when Charlton can sort of, you know, bog the opposition down.
And this is where
down.
Fulham can look vulnerable.
Exactly. And Fulham, I would say, if there are any weaknesses, there are some weaknesses to take advantage of in the defence, perhaps.
Well, before we talk a little bit more about that game, it wouldn't be the Charlton fan show
here
this evening
is.
On a night where we've had Macaulay Bon. Of course, we now talk to Ahmed. Ahmed, thank you for calling into the studio. Did you listen to what Macaulay had to say? And also, what did you make of the two games?
I've got to eat humble pie. I didn't see it coming. It took me by surprise. It was a very sort of gritty, gutsy, gargantuan team performance against Leeds as well.
That's a good word. Yeah, I like that.
Can you say that again, Ahmed? I like that.
Gritty, gutsy, gargantuan.
So close. You couldn't even do it. You couldn't get the double header, Ahmed.
Yeah, it's a dinosaur in me, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Well, it was a brilliant performance. Obviously, it wasn't so great last night, but there were lots of positive to take from the two games, wasn't there?
Yeah, very much so. To be fair, actually, we didn't deserve to lose against Swansea, to be quite honest. A point would have been a very fair result overall.
Yeah, but
I think my only worry was, again, is just the number of chances that we're creating. I think that was the problem. We scored early, and then we got the early goal, and then we couldn't really get a second goal that could have sort of closed out the game, possibly.
Yeah, it's actually interesting you said that, because actually Mark was looking at quite an interesting fact about the chances. What was you got in front of you there?
Yeah. Talking about after 10 games, total shots on goal, we're bottom of the list with 86. Top are Leeds with 178, and then Fulham and West Brom closely behind them. So, you know, it just goes to prove maybe, you know, we need to have more shots on goal.
I was just going to say to you that we don't shoot enough.
No.
Yeah. And one thing we are desperately missing, is Kermigan and Johnny Jackson. We haven't got a free kick taker who can actually really threaten the opponent's goal.
Yeah, I was thinking that. We've been missing a lot of them free kicks. Like, when we get in a good position, they go to walk over the bar.
We potentially got a player like Foster Caskey. He can take free kicks, for example, if he's in the side. They need to find someone who can take those free kicks and score from them.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Ahmed. It's one of the areas with Josh Cullen that is a little bit lacking. I've been a little bit disappointed in some of his free kicks this season. Obviously, we had that great free kick last season at Wimbledon when Naby Sarr scored that goal, but he tried a repeat of that at Wigan, and unfortunately it went sky high.
I think that could be a one-off, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah.
That's where it all came together, and just that one time, if you know what I mean.
Indeed, yeah. But it's a good point.
Do you
want
to hear what I thought of the Charlton performance against Swansea? Was basically,
yeah, absolutely.
Combative, committed, competitive performance.
Oh, look at that. Ahmed, can you say that again? Ahmed, well, let's put you on the spot, because we're going to be talking about the Fulham game, the massive London clash on the weekend. What is your score prediction?
I think it'll be a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. Would you be happy with that away to Fulham?
Given the form of Kieran and Mitrovic, definitely.
Yeah, very good point. Ahmed, always a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks so much for calling in. Well, I want to put you three on the spot now before we get the Fulham perspective. You know, it was September. We said we looked at those three games. We said 9 from 9 would be fantastic. We're going to get 9 from 9. We'll take 7 from 9. It was three. Yes, we've already started October. We played Swansea. Let's look at these four games. The next one, it is Fulham, then at home to Derby, then you're away to Bristol City, and then to end the month, you are away to West Brom. 12 points at stake.
It's tough.
It's very tough in the Championship. No games are easy. No. What do you reckon, and what would you take?
I reckon we are capable of getting 4 points, and I think they'd come from a home win against Derby. I think I'm reasonably confident that we can come out as winners there. I don't expect anything, to be honest, on Saturday. I just think Fulham are a really, really good side. I'm fancying a point at Bristol, and I think it'd be a close run thing, but I think West Brom will probably do us by the odd goal up at the Hawthorns in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, Saturday is... We ain't got a good record at Fulham.
I hate going there.
Not a nice place to go.
They are a bogey side to us over the last few years, so I've got no Wossets for Saturday. But the other games, maybe, I'm with Paul, 4, maybe 6 points out of them 4, maybe.
Well, it's really hard to say, because I'd agree with you that I wouldn't expect anything at the Fulham match, but you know, when we're looking at the last three games, we thought we all agreed that we'll get points off Wigan. We think we're going to beat Wigan.
Works out like that, does it?
But then we all thought we were going to lose against Leeds, and we won. So it's so hard to predict. So I'd expect nothing from the Fulham game, but I mean, we might win in there. It's hard to say. So I'm going to say we get 12 points.
And you know what, Ollie? I wouldn't be surprised, because we're dealing with Lee Bowyer here, and we just don't know what's going to happen. No.
Well, I thought I was going to be the most positive. I'm going to say 6 points from 12 there.
Okay, yeah. I'm happy with that.
I'll take it, to be fair.
Yeah, why not? Well, a man who might say different, well, actually he won't, because you three, Fulham is the bogey team, is the bogey side. Mm. They've been a thorn in Charlton's side for many a while, but could that change this Saturday? One man in the know is Love Sport's very own Don Betts.
Love Sport.
That's right. It is time for the opposition view on the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast. Paul Sullivan, Martin Atkins and Ollie Cook talking everything where Charlton is concerned. We turn our attentions to the game on the weekend. It is a massive clash against Fulham. Fulham have been... Well, they've got Charlton's number, let's put it that way. They've got the better of them over the last few meetings. Someone who will know all about that, it is Love Sport's very own Dom Betts. Dom, thank you for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Dom, just a word of warning. Paul was listening to the Fulham Fan Show. He heard what you had to say about Charlton. He knows you're confident of a win. Are you going to change your mind?
No, I'm still fairly confident. I'm just worried about, you know, if it's 0-0 at half-time, as I said last night, then... I think it could be in for a tough game. But I mean, if we're just talking about the odds, the bookmakers don't seem to have Charlton two favourites. So I think they're about 7-1 at the moment after last night. But I was trying to say last night is I think Charlton will give us a stern test. I just don't see them creating too many chances. But if they do create the chances, I expect them to take them, because as you've seen this season against some of the big sides, you know, they don't need 8 chances to create a goal like we seem to need in certain games. So we need to be careful and be on our guard. And I think, you know, it will be a tough game, but I do think we will come up on top, as I said last night.
Yeah, absolutely, Dom. I mean, I don't know if you were listening to that stat that we just read out. So basically, we're 8 from top, but in a league table of most shots, Fulham are 3rd from top. We're about 150, and we're at the bottom on 86. But yet we're riding high, relatively speaking, you know, in the Championship table at 8th. But against Millwall, going back to earlier in the season, it was one of those nights for you when the whole team appeared to be in sync. And it was rather like Charlton in the first half when we played Nottingham Forest. Have Fulham come close to that perfection since? And are they likely to find that rhythm in front of the Sky TV cameras on Saturday up against the mighty Addicks?
We haven't really come close since. I mean, it would be very hard, because that was pretty much the perfect performance against Millwall. I mean, we came fairly close on Tuesday night against Reading. You know, we're getting the ball in the right areas. I mean, if I'm looking at the game since the Millwall game, often we have been a bit too passive with the ball and not getting it into the right areas enough. Sort of a bit of opposite to Charlton, really. So I think that we are seeing in the last two games, you know, we've got the 6 points out of six, that is close to getting there. But, you know, I don't even think on Saturday we will see it, because I think Fulham are going to be looking for an effective performance instead of playing, you know, try to play perfect total football like we did against Millwall.
Yeah, and coming from a Charlton fan, I'm glad it was against Millwall. you're probably sick of talking about this, but I do want to ask you about last season a little bit. Just from a Fulham fan's point of view, in that you had so many good players in the squad, even a World Cup winner in Andre Schürrle. What happened? How did it all fall apart?
I think what we ended up buying very good, technically gifted players last year of the £100 million that we spent, but we, you know, like, you create a divide in the dressing room by doing that. You get these players in like Andre Schürrle, like Jean-Michel Seri, Anguissa, etc., who, you know, are going to be on the Premier League money, while these other players, you know, the likes of Kearney, Mitrovic, Johansson, Ream, they're still going to be on that Championship money. So I think it did create a divide in the dressing room. And I also thought we ended up getting players and who weren't in there for relegation battle. Yes, you know, we brought all these good players in, but let's face it, we came up through the playoffs. You know, I would have bitten anyone's hand off for 17th place going into the season. So I think that, you know, Tony Khan and the ownership sort of, they tried to look too far ahead as opposed to sort of building on the foundations that we did. Because if you're looking at teams this season, I'm thinking, especially I'm looking at Norwich, you know, they, I think they're doing fairly well because they haven't signed the million players. I think that's why Villa are doing fairly bad as well. I think that it, when you get promoted, it is just sort of just slowly building what you bought. I think we've basically tried to create a totally new 11, and, you know, there didn't seem to be a certain style of play last season. I mean, yes, under Slavisa Djukanovic, it was about keeping the ball and stuff, but I do think that the transfer business looks good on paper about all the players you're bringing in, but as an actual team, and, you know, as a champion, you know about how important, you know, the team is, as opposed to just good individuals. It was just basically all over the shot when it came to sort of the team chemistry last year.
I mean, we've sold out our allocation as expected, obviously. What sort of crowd are you expecting for the game?
I'm expecting pretty much near of a sellout, because obviously we've lost one stand this season. Yeah. On the Riverside, so I imagine it will be pretty much a sold out ground. So taking away the Riverside stand, the ground's probably about 18,000-20,000. So I think it'll be really good atmosphere. You know, it's, you know, both teams are on the up, despite obviously your loss last night. So I think, yeah, I think it'll be a full atmosphere, and it's a weird one actually, because since we've lost this other stand, it's kind of, the atmosphere hasn't suffered. If anything, it's gotten better, just because all the fans are sort of shoved into three stands full, and there's sort of no gap. So I think that, yeah, I think the atmosphere on Saturday should be a good one.
Yeah, and Dom, and looking at the Charlton-Fulham connections, Scott Parker is still not popular down in Charlton for leaving us for Chelsea all those years back. So what's the general consensus amongst the Fulham fans about Mr. Parker?
I think it's sort of split. I mean, a lot of people said, oh, if we waited another few days when we appointed him, we could have got Chris Hughton, but I wasn't so sure. And I think he's doing a perfectly good job. I don't think there's any cause for his job to be at risk, because, you know, if you look at where we are on the table, that's realistically where you're expecting Fulham to be. You know, went into the first international break in the playoffs, so I'll say it's not bad. It's good. It could be better. But no, I think Scott Parker's doing a good job. I think he's finally just trying to, I don't think really he knows his best 11 yet, but I think that, you know, he's getting the players playing the style of football that we saw when we got promoted. So I think he's doing a fine job, but yeah, it'll be to see what sort of reception he gets from the Charlton fans on Saturday.
Yeah. And yourself, looking at Charlton, I don't know how much you've seen of us this season, but is there anything from a Fulham fans perspective that you think might be a threat that we could pose to, or anything that even Fulham could take advantage of in terms of our weaknesses?
I think where the game's going to be won and lost is the midfield battle, because I feel like when Charlton get the ball forward, that most of the time they get the ball and have an attempt on goal, it most often is on target or it goes into the back of the net. I feel like you are very productive with the chances you create. I think one game that reminds me in particular, I think it was when you hosted Brentford at the Valley, and yeah, I think you basically just took your main chance of the game. You ended up winning the game by 1-0, I think it was. So I'm worried that if we don't get the early goal, it's going to allow Charlton into the game, and it could be a very nervy game for us, because, you know, if you have two low blocks and it's hard to get through, the Fulham fans are going to get very frustrated, and the Charlton players are probably going to, you know, thrive off that. So I think that for us, it's about, you know, using our attacking players to attack Charlton early from the off instead of being very passive. But I'm still very worried that when Charlton get the ball forward, they are very good at taking their chances.
Well, Dom, I know your score prediction after speaking to you last night on the Fulham fan show. It's time for you to let the Charlton fans know what you thought. What is your score prediction?
I'm going for a 2-0 win on Saturday, but I'm feeling very optimistic, considering that means Fulham would get a clean sheet.
Oh, Dom, always a pleasure to speak to you. Dom Betts, Love Sport's very own there. He's going for a 2-0 win. I turn my attentions to you now in the studio. Paul, two questions. One, what is your score prediction? But B, how do you think the game will play out?
Well, my score prediction is Fulham 4, Charlton Athletic 0.
I must admit, we can offer out suspensions here. You might be looking at a week
that's
off,
a booking,
Paul.
Rob, you're back next week, mate.
It is what it is. I just feel, you know, there will be occasions. I think we've got to accept this, that from time to time, we will get our comeuppance, because we have got the lowest budget in the Championship, and we are up against some... let me just give you about three or four reasons why it's going to be 4-0. Tom Kearney in midfield. You've got the guy Knockhart on one side. Is it Cavallero on the other?
Mitrovic. Yeah.
Now, if they are on song...
Bobby Reid.
If Fulham get that early goal, then we could be in trouble. We haven't got a very good record against Fulham.
No.
And plus the fact, when I predict a defeat, something opposite might happen.
But Paul, let me say back, Macaulay Bon. Lecco, yes. Gallagher.
Absolutely.
That's what we've got to be talking about on this show.
Listen, I think I alluded to it earlier in the show. Despite all our predictions, you just don't know what's going to happen with Charlton, because they are capable of producing a result. Don't get me wrong. We could win. Yeah, absolutely.
It could absolutely go that way again this weekend. Mark, what do you think? Heart and head here, is it, Mark?
It is. I'm literally going to have splinters in my backside here and go for a 1-1.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a 1-1. You take a 1-1,
absolutely, yeah. It's time we got a result for them.
Yeah.
I think where Charlton play their best football is when they're written off. And that's basically what's happened this weekend. Fulham are going to go in with confidence, and Charlton's going to know they can get overconfident. In a similar way that I think Don was alluding to there, I think that we're going to keep it tight early on. They're going to get some chances, but much the same way as against Leeds, we're going to get a moment of a bit of luck, maybe off Darren Pratley's backside or something, get a 1-0 and then defend it out for the rest of the game or win the game 1-0.
1-0, what a trio of difference. Blimey. Paul is going 4-0 to Fulham. Mark is
1-1. What's your prediction, Charlie?
I think that I really do honestly think Charlton can get something out of this game. I don't know why. I think it will be a high-scoring draw, and I'm going to go for 3-3.
Whoa, blimey.
Came from nowhere.
2-2 or 3-3 I'm going for.
Good for you.
And I'll stick by it. It was a mix tonight. But either way, we're hoping Charlton get the 3 points on the weekend, continue this good league form. This has been the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Every Thursday, 9 till 10, we will see you next week up the Addicts.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.